Yeah, our discussion today revolves around chapter 24 of Mesilat Yesharim, of the Path of the Just. And we are discussing a very, very important topic in which there are a lot of misconceptions. And this topic is called Yirat Chet. We've done it a few times, let's do it again because it's very, very important to get it clear. What is fear of sin? What is fear of God? And what is fear of punishment? There's three different levels we're going to talk about. There's fear of, let's start from the bottom, fear of punishment. There's fear of God, and there's fear of sin. Now, I would think fear of sin is lower than fear of God. We're going to see it's very well connected. Let's discuss it very nicely. So number one is, we have to know, one of the highest levels in Mesilat Yesharim, because we're really towards the end of the book, this is right towards the end of the book, and we discussed many different topics. We talked about Zehirut, being cautious, zrizut, doing mitzvot fast, nekiyut, being clean. We talked about tahara, we talked about chasidut. And here, all of a sudden, we have right at the end, towards the end of the book, yirat chet, fear of sin. So we see fear of sin is not something which is easy. If it was easy, it would be right at the beginning. It must be something very hard. And the truth is, it's tremendously hard. It's a lifetime of effort. It says the Arizal, we talked about last week on his yard site. We had an interesting discussion on Arizal's yard site. It says on his deathbed, he was praying, Hashem, let me stay humble. On his deathbed, he's praying, Hashem, I don't think about what I achieved in my life. You know, the eulogy, we always talk about how much this person did this, he did this, he did this. You know, in Shamayim, it's a terrible thing because they may examine and say, he didn't really do it, you know. And so it's very important to simple. That's why the tzaddikim, when they die, they want a very simple things to be said about them. Don't say big things about me. Even though some people did a lot of things in the world, Arizal did tremendous amount. He changed the whole world. He changed the whole Jewish world. He had tremendous impact on the whole Jewish world. And he's praying to God. In last minutes, he's praying to God, don't let it go to my head. And it's a very, very important idea that I was talking about it last time, that a person should think, thank you Hashem for giving me the opportunity to do this. Thank you Hashem for giving me the opportunity. And that's what the Chafetz Chaim would say. Imagine the Chafetz Chaim could say to God, he says, God, I wrote the Mishneh Berurah, I wrote Machaneh Yisrael, I wrote Shmirat HaLashon. He says, no. He says, thank you Hashem for giving me the opportunities to do these things. Without your opportunities, I wouldn't be able to do anything. And that's a very humble perspective. It's a tremendously humble perspective. And we already talked about humility. So you see, humility is easier than yirat chet. I'd say humility is one of the hardest things to do. It is. But there's a stage above humility, which is fear of God and fear of sin, which is very hard to get to. Because there's so many different things we can do in seconds. We can listen to certain things in seconds. We can see certain sights in seconds. And to guard these things, you need tremendous yirat chet. You need tremendous fear of God. Tremendous. Just walking down the street in the summertime, it's like a bathhouse. I don't know, some places, right? If you go to the beach, forget it. That's it. For a man, for sure. Okay, we are talking about Yirat Chet, and this is where these things are so important. A person's in a place where there's no kosher food. What does he do? There's no one here. No one's looking, right? What does he do? A person's in a place where no one knows who he is. And hefker. Everything's hefker. He can do whatever he wants. It's not he's in his hotel room. It's all Yirat Shamayim. Everything boils down to. So over here in Highland Park, we're lucky. Why? Because we have a framework. We have kosher food around us. We have yeshivot. We have classes. We have synagogues. We have a framework of social framework, peer pressure. People see, I don't want people to see me do this. People want to see me do that. But in places where there's no framework, can do whatever you want. That's Yirat Shamayim. That's true Yirat Chet. Let's see. So it's not what we do in our public. It's what we do in private. And that's what we say every single morning, the beginning of the Siddur, Leolam Yehe Adam Yireh Shamayim Baseter Kebagalui. It's important for a person to be a Yireh Shamayim, what's fear of heaven, which we're going to have to talk about, fear of heaven, in private as well as in public. Most of us in public, right? But in private, it's very hard. Do we say brachot? Who knows? No one's going to know. You're in your house. The next stage is, how do you say them? That's the next stage. Okay, I say brachot. How do I say it? So first of all, Yirat Shemayim, we'll say brachot. Pray carefully. Pray carefully. Very, say God's name. It's very, very... Listen, these are very hard things to do. Constantly think about Hashem. Be constantly attached to Hashem and think about Hashem. And to think Hashem is watching. Hashem is looking at me. Right? Hashem is concerned about me. So this is a very, very high level. It must be a high level if it's towards the end of Mislat Yesharim. We're building up. It's climbing the ladder of service of Hashem. If it's climbing the ladder and this is towards the top of the ladder, it must be the highest level. What are the highest levels? We're going to see there's only one thing after this. Right? So he says, the Mishnah Yesharim says there are two parts to Yiriyat Shemayim, which are really three. There are two which are really three. One of them is easier than the others to get to. It's much easier than the others. The second level is harder, and the second part of the second level is even harder. So there's three different levels in Yirat Chet. What are the three different levels? Let's go through them one by one. So number one, he says, the lowest level, and this is something which is on our minds constantly, if you believe in God, it's on our minds constantly. Number one is Yirat Ha'onish, fear of punishment. Number one, fear of punishment. So a person believes in God, and a person reads the Torah and say, oh boy, look at Cain. Hashem punished Cain. Right? He did something wrong. Hashem punished Adam and Eve. Hashem punished them. He threw them out of the Garden of Eden. And they're not going to live forever. They're going to eventually die. He brought death into the world. We see punishments. A person reads the Torah. They get this concept of Hashem is concerned with what we do. Hashem didn't just walk away, create the world to walk away. Hashem knows exactly what we're up to. Not only does Hashem know exactly what we're up to, Hashem reads our minds. We say in our tefillah on Yom Kippur, Ru'eh kilayot v'alev. He reads the kidneys and the heart. Hashem knows exactly what we're thinking. So a person who really believes that God knows what we're up to is concerned. Maybe I'm not doing the right thing. Maybe Hashem will. And you know what? The higher level a person is, you feel it straight away. Boy, I've seen it. In my life, if I go the wrong, Hashem, bang, straight away. Practically instantaneous. It's amazing. Depends what you do. If you really anger Hashem, boy, oh boy, the person might even die. The person who's on a higher level. It's a tzaddikim, a judge to a high level. So it depends on the person. Some people, they're not on their level. So, but a person who knows what they're doing and rebels, oh boy, it's a very quick process. And that's what David HaMelech says in Psalm 23. Shiftecha u'mish'antecha hema yinachamuni. Your rod and your staff will comfort me. What's the difference between a rod and a staff? So he said, a rod is something you hit someone. The shepherd hits the sheep. The sheep's going the wrong way. Hits the sheep. And the staff has got a hook around it, pulls the sheep away. Hashem pulls us or Hashem pushes us? Right? So as Yirat HaOnesh is, I don't want Hashem to push me. I'd rather do it myself. I don't need Hashem to prod me, but we don't want Hashem to prod us, honestly. It's too much. And that's the same true with the Jewish people. We lost the first temple, we lost the second temple. All these things are onish. Yirat HaOnesh. We have to be scared of this onish. In fact, that's how the Talmud, we just did it yesterday, Gittin. The Gemara talks about the destruction of the temple, and it says, and it starts off, Rabbi Yochanan says, what's his line from Mishle? Asher Adam Mefachet Tamid. Praise the person who's always scared. Umakshe libo yipol bera. And a person who hardens his heart is going to fall into evil. So what's he scared of? And the answer is a person always going to be scared of consequences. Hashem's judgment is consequences. It's like today. We don't punish Hashem. We tell them, it's not a punishment. It's a consequence. You do this, you get this. It's all consequences. Hashem's consequences are amazing. Because Hashem's consequence, when we talk about punishment, it's not really a punishment. You have to understand, it's not a punishment. It's a medication. Hashem doesn't punish for the sake of punishing. Hashem punishes for the sake of getting us back onto the right road. Right? So it's a kind of medication. Hashem gives us medication, it's sometimes a bit of medication. Like a surgeon, right? And you see surgery, boy, it's... Luckily, thank God, the guy is unconscious. Thank God, Baruch Hashem. Imagine, in those days, surgery was... The guy's fully conscious, so they make him drunk. But thank God for that. But here, when we get punished, we're wide awake. Oh, it hurts. It hurts. It hurts a lot. Boy, it hurts. It hurts. And sometimes everything fits what a person is doing. It's very important for a person to be tuned into this. If the person's not tuned into it, it doesn't work. The person's got to be tuned into it. And maybe one time later, when a person passes away, they'll see the whole movie and they'll say, hey, oh, that's why this happened to me. You know, I have to take a medication every day. It's called ASACOL. Okay? So I was thinking to myself, because we say, Asakol Bechachma. I said, Asakol. This medication, that's the name of the medication. There's something I got to fix. Asakol. Hashem made everything. Everything that comes to us, we have, there's a lesson. We have to just figure out what's, put two and two together. It's very hard to put two and two together. Anyway, so the lowest level is Yirat HaOnesh, fear of punishment. That we know that Hashem is a good parent, and Hashem wants to direct us, and that's the way we should take it. Hashem Gamzu L'Tovah. This is a direction from Hashem. I want this direction from Hashem. I want to learn more. Musar is very important. That's why we're here today. We're here to learn Musar. Mislat Yesharim is all Musar. What is Musar? Ethics. To teach us the way to go. So Hashem's little tap on the shoulder is a reminder. Sometimes it's a tap, sometimes it's a push. Sometimes it knocks the person over. But that's exactly what the person needs. So the first level is fear of punishment. That's number one. That's number one. The second level, it's harder. That's Yirat HaRoMimut. Oh, that's very hard to understand. Fear of the Great One. RoMimut means High One, the High One. Fear of the high places. Fear of the Ein Sof Baruch Hu, as the Kabbalists say. Fear of the One who lives on high. Fear of the most awesome one, awe. It's really awe. Awe of Hashem. And now, the hard part of that is, we don't even know what Hashem is. That's the hard part. So the only way a person really gets awe is, Rambam says, we get love from seeing creation. If you see this universe, if you can see pictures of the universe, you'll say, wow, amazing. This is awe. How can you be a creator of masses, trillions and trillions of stars? Hard to imagine. The awe of looking at space. I don't know. I'm in awe when I look at space. It's all black and there's little shining things around. But it's amazing. It's awesome. Can you imagine going up in a spacecraft and seeing this? I think they asked Buzz Aldrin. He said, did you see God in space? He said, no. I saw God right here when my wife gave birth. You don't have to go to see. You don't have to go to space to see God. You can see God right here. Just birth. It's hard to imagine. A little bit of liquid becomes a human being. It's hard to imagine. We have to have awe of the Creator. The Creator of Hashem is the Creator. And by looking at His creations, we get love of God, Rambam says. By looking at the forest, looking at the trees, looking at the plants, looking at all the thousands and thousands of insects. It's hard to imagine. So that is Yirat. That's awe. That's Yirat HaRoMimut. And that's very hard to get to. That's as the lowest level is much easier. Person who's scared of getting punished. It's good. But it's like I'm scared. I don't want to speed when there's a policeman around. I might get a ticket. And if I'm really scared, I won't even speed when he's not around. Because he may be around somewhere. I don't know. He's looking. He's hiding somewhere. He always hides somewhere. The second level is Yirat HaRoMimut, which is such a high level. Person's got to be in awe of the Creator of the world. We have to learn with that. And the truth is, we don't know. We have to grow. We have to try and discover every day. We have to grow in our Yirat HaRoMimut. We have to try and grow and find new ways of discovering Hashem. And he says that this is the surprising thing. He says the highest level is fear of sin. Now we've got to talk about that, because that is the hardest thing to comprehend. Why is fear of sin higher than fear of Hashem himself? We've got to talk about that. Let's start with the lowest point and we'll discuss it. Number one. Yirat HaOnesh, fear of punishment. He says, Shuta. The simple understanding of fear of punishment. The person is scared to transgress God's word because of the punishments which will be on that person. Whether the person will be punished physically or the person will be punished spiritually. Now, the Torah itself mentions there are 36 things for which there's a spiritual punishment in the Torah. Some of them are very obvious. Like we said, eating on Yom Kippur. A person eats on Yom Kippur, karet. That's a spiritual punishment. The soul is cut off. A person eats chametz on Pesach, karet. Right? A person breaks Shabbat on purpose. Karet. Mita b'dei shamayim. A person is boiled nida. Karet. It's a very, very harsh. It's a very harsh punishment. And there's many things. You go into the Beit HaMikdash today. Site of the Beit HaMikdash. A lot more people are going behind the curtain. You've got to be very careful not to go on the site of the Beit HaMikdash. The Mishnah says in Midot, it's 500 amot by 500 amot. You have to know exactly where that is. You just walk in and put where the defiled, the tamemet, correct. It's all cut off. That's why it's dangerous to go up there. You have to know exactly where not to go. You go up there, but just make sure you don't walk too close to the Dome of the Rock. Don't walk too close to that. The whole Beit HaMikdash was 500 amot by 500 amot. 750 feet or more by 750 feet. So if you know exactly where it is, okay, I'm not going to go into that. Rav Avadia Yosef says don't go there. Don't go onto the mount. Don't go on the Temple Mount. Today, as many rabbis say, yeah, we know where it is. We can tell where it is. But that is Yirat Onish. If you're scared of Onish, why do you want to go there? Why do you put yourself near the fire? You don't put yourself near the fire. Now that's a Hametz on Pesach, so I'm going to have Safek Hametz on Pesach. So if a person knows these things are poison to the soul, you're not going to do it. It's very simple. So, whether it's a punishment of the body, I don't want any punishments of the body. I've suffered enough in my life. I don't want punishments. I don't get sick. I don't get in bed. I want to go to hospital. I don't want to do this. I don't want to break anything. I was walking to shul once. One Sunday, it was icy. I fell down, broke my wrist. Who wants that? It's painful. And then you have to recuperate, and it takes time, and you can't drive, you can't do this, you can't go to work. It's very painful. So all these things, the person's going to say, there's a taps on the shoulder. Hashem's tapping me. He's waking me up. And sometimes people wake up. It's amazing. If Hashem would not have tapped him on the shoulder, that's the irony. We don't want it, but if it happens, sometimes people change. And then they realize, they wake up. It's a wake-up call. So the point is, let's do it before it happens. If we don't need it, we won't get it. Very simple. If you don't need it, you won't get it. The Gemara says in Brachot, sometimes there are tzaddikim who do get punished, even though nothing's wrong. Right? So it gives you a list of things that if you get punished, to find out why did you get it. So you look at what mitzvah am I doing, what mitzvah I'm not doing, what averot I'm doing, what averot I'm not doing. If you can't find anything, maybe you're not learning enough Torah. If you're learning enough Torah, then maybe it's what's called yisurin shel ahava. Sometimes a person gets punished, even though they're righteous. Why? That's going to be part of their repayment. Hashem's going to pay them for the pain. They get extra payment for the pain. That's wild. So, but that seems to be voluntary. A person can say, I don't want it. If he says, I don't want it, it doesn't work. Someone else has to do it for him. Someone else has to go. Another rabbi has to come, say, do you want this pain? That's the one that brings down different stories. Rabbi Lazar, son of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. And Rabbi Yochanan says, "Do you like this pain?" He said, "No, I don't want the pain. I don't want the pain. I don't want the reward for the pain." So okay, so he released him. So these things apply, but we're not on that level. We're not on that level to we can say, "I didn't do anything wrong in my life. I learned Torah 24/7 as much as I can." We don't have that ability. And therefore, whatever we get in this world is some kind of it's a fix. So we have to try our best to keep away from these fixes. We don't want these fixes. So there's nothing that keeps a person doing on the straight and narrow more than fear. Nothing works more for a person more than fear. However, he says, this fear is a very low level. This fear is a level for ignorant people. Now, he contradicts himself. This is a bit of a contradiction, right? Why? Because we just said this is the highest level of the book, nearly. We're nearly at the end of the book. This is a very high level. On the other side, he's saying that it's for low people. Fear or punishment is a very low level. And anyone can get to it. So, you're conducting yourself. So the answer is, he's right. There's different levels of fear of God. The lowest level of fear of God is attainable by anyone. The fear of punishment is attainable by anyone. That's a very low level. Even children have it. You don't have to be very bright to get to that level. The next level up, that's the high level. There's a massive gap between these levels. Fear of punishment, everyone who gets sick, everyone who gets hurt, everyone. We see all these terrible things on the TV. innocent people, all of a sudden they're running here, jogging here, and the guy comes in out of the nowhere and kills the person. Horrible, horrible. So the person said, I don't want this to happen to me, I'm going to be good. I'm going to pray on the plane. I don't want the plane to do something. You know, I was on a plane once, it was Tower Air. Remember Tower Air? Allah Bashalom. Tower Air was the cheapest airline to Israel. And they had old jumbo jets, very old jumbo jets. And they would fly to Israel over the Alps. Big mistake. Because when they flew over the Alps, they would... Oh boy, I never had so much turbulence. And I was sitting on the plane, said, Tefilat HaDerech. All of a sudden, they're going over the Alps. Bang! Crash! Every 2,000 feet, they fall. The plane falls. Goes further, another 2,000 feet, falling mid-air. And the whole plane is trembling. Everyone's trembling. Can we borrow your Sidur? Can we all want to say Tefilat HaDerech? All of a sudden, he wants to pray. That's what Yirat HaOnesh is. People are scared. It's not a joke. Not a joke. The worst thing is when people are not scared. You don't care. Look at the book of Jeremiah. Yirmiyahu HaNavi had so much trouble. Why? He's telling everyone, don't do it, don't do it. Change. Release your slaves. Keep the Torah. Heck with you. We don't care. I don't care. But Hashem is going to destroy Yerushalayim. Don't believe you. Okay. So the worst is a person doesn't take a warning. Yirat HaOnesh doesn't work, all the bonds are broken. The person can do whatever they want, but you know what? There's consequences. Eventually, the consequences will come. It may not come straight away because Hashem is Erech Apayim. Right? He's Noseh Avon. Hashem is slow to anger. Hashem bears the sin until a certain point where it breaks the camel's back. That's it. The sin gets too much. You know, it says by Sodom, it says, the cries of Sodom reach the heavens. What do you mean? Cries of storm reach heavens. It says they afflicted too many people in affliction. The voice of the afflicted people reached God. When the voice of afflicted people reached God, some people say it was just, the Midrash says it was the daughter of Lot. Right? She was helping a poor man. They covered her with honey and they put her, the bees would eat her. The bees stung her to death. Horrible. Her cries reached God. And that's something which we have to really realize. That's Yirat Onish. If a person doesn't have Yirat Onish, there's no boundaries. Same thing applies to society. If people are not scared of the police, look what happens today. It's amazing. People are killing policemen. What's going to happen to society? Who's going to keep law and order? If the police are walking down the street scared, it's like school. If the teachers are scared of the students, everything falls apart. There's no fear. There's no respect. Society has no respect anymore. And that's a danger. If we don't respect God, it's a tremendous danger. And look what happened. All of a sudden, people lost their respect of God. They lost their fear of God, lost their fear of punishment. They do whatever they want. So what's happening? What's happening is it's storing up. It's storing up, storing up, storing up. I don't know when it's going to come out. It came out of the Second World War. I don't know what's going on. Listen, I can't talk. I don't know. But we see periods in history where all of a sudden, bam. So that's fear of punishment. A person sees these things, a person's going to say, oh, you know what? I'm scared of Hashem's power. I'm scared Hashem might do something to me. I want Hashem to bless me. I want the curses. I don't want the curses in Parshat Bechukotai or Parshat Kitavu. I want the blessings of Parshat Bechukotai and Parshat Bechukotai. So that's a fear of punishment. And that's a low level, he says. That's available to everyone. That level is available to everyone. And that keeps a person on the straight and narrow. But it's not the way of the wise. The path of the wise is higher than that. And that's the second part. Fear of the Holy One Himself. Why? Because Hashem is our Creator. Hashem is glorious. How can I do this to Hashem? Right? If you honor your father, you honor your mother, how can you do bad to them? They did so much for you. How can you do so much bad for them? That's the higher level. How can I go against the wishes of my Creator? He created me. How can I go against His wishes? Can imagine the computer does against the wishes of the person who designed the computer. It's like Frankenstein, right? Where the creature is out of control of the master already. The master created it, and now it's out of control. It's running amok. Same thing with a human being. We're created by the Creator. We have a set of rules. All of a sudden, we run amok. So a person who has some brains, a higher level, he says, people with chokmah, will serve God because they realize He's the Creator. He's our Creator. Well, we're going to argue with the Creator. He tells us what to do. We're going to argue with the Creator. He created me. He gave us He endowed us with all we have. It's interesting. It's a beautiful Ramban. You know, this Ramban is staring me in the face for many years. Right at the beginning of Bereshit. You know, there's a difference between the Rambam and the Rambam, Ramban, Nachmanides and Maimonides, in discussion about Adam and Chava and the fruit. Right? Hashem did not want them to eat from the fruit of knowledge of good and evil. Why not? Why not allow them to eat from the knowledge of good and evil? Is knowledge of good and evil good or bad? Is knowledge of good and evil good or bad? I'm asking you. Who says it's good? Who says it's bad?
Knowledge is
bad. It's bad. Knowledge of good and evil is bad. You have to understand. Now, Hashem doesn't want them to eat the fruit of knowledge of good and evil. That means eating from the fruit is bad. It's going to ruin them. The question is, why is the fruit of knowledge of good and evil bad? So Rambam in Moreh Nevuchim says, because there's a higher level of knowledge of good and evil. What we have today is knowledge of good and evil. What does that mean? It's all relative. We decide what's good, and we decide what's bad. That's knowledge of good and evil. It's not absolute knowledge. Society today is subjective, right? Let's take a vote. Is this allowed? Not allowed. So all of a sudden, society has changed dramatically. Society has gone completely U-turns on everything. All moral issues, U-turns. I'm not going to talk about all of them because I'll get in trouble. Okay. I'll talk about euthanasia. Look at it. Euthanasia means you got a person who's in pain or getting old, and you know it's a slippery slope. Soon it'll be suicides. It'll help people. Doctors can help people commit euthanasia. Kevorkian was the first one. He started the whole thing. They put him in jail, whatever it is. But in certain states, like in Oregon, they allow it. In Holland, you can do it. Euthanasia. So the person says, "I'm sick. Doctor, please help me. I want to end my life." No problem. I think Switzerland also. Yeah. And it's getting more and more commonplace. So what? You're not allowed to take a person's life. Oh, why not? It's quality of life. There's the quality of life. So who decides now what's quality of life? So it's a very dangerous thing. Society is... Knowledge of good and evil is very dangerous when we don't have an absolute good and evil. The Torah gives us absolute good and evil. You leave the absolute... So Rambam says they knew the difference between true and false. That's absolute. Once they ate that fruit, they got a lower level of knowledge of good and evil, which means they could start rationalizing. And that's the power of the snake, the power of Nachash. I've said this many times. Nachash means to rationalize. Okay. Ramban comes along with an amazing idea. Ramban, Nachmanides, says, this is staring me in the face, but he doesn't explain it nicely. It's hard to understand. Just read the raw Ramban. You need a little bit of explanation to see it. And so Ramban says an amazing idea. He says, before the knowledge of good and evil, Adam and Chava operated on instinct. They knew they had a creator, and instinctively, they worshipped the creator. But once they got choice, they were lost. Because now they can rebel against the creator. So the higher level is instinct. Okay. So instinctively, the child is born, he sees his mother, and instinctively loves the mother, he knows the mother's the source of everything, and he treats his mother well, hopefully. But eventually, a child gets smart. The child says, I can do without my mother. In fact, I'm going to be better than my mother. I'm going to be bigger than my mother. I'm going to know more than my mother. And then, the honor of the mother goes. And that's what Adam and Chava, that's what happens to them. That's the knowledge of good people, was the choices. Before that, they were instinctive. But they wanted the choices. They thought with the choices they're going to be like God. That's the danger. The truth is, a little bit like God, but you know it's very dangerous. It's better to be instinctively faithful to God than just choose to be faithful to God and then fail. That's the dangers. That's where we are now. That's where we are now. We're all in that boat. Adam and Chava chose the knowledge of good and evil over instinct. I want to be instinctively true to God. I want to choose my faith to God. I want to have the choice. Should I serve God or not? Oh boy, what a dangerous thing. Dangerous. So what's Yirat HaRoMemut? Yirat HaRoMemut is knowing who the Creator is. And saying, how can I rebel against the Creator? How can I rebel against my Creator? How can I, this puny human being, rebel against the great God? It's very hard to get to that level. Because then you got to put yourself and realize, most human beings think that they're the greatest. We're all like, little Muhammad Ali is walking around. I'm the greatest. Until what happens, you get setbacks in life. You realize, oh gosh, not so great. The setback set me back. Not so great. I made mistakes. I made errors in my life. Then a person realizes not so great. Then a little bit of humility. See, this is one of the causes of families breaking down. Husband and wife. When the husband suddenly thinks, you know, I'm so great. Yeah, she doesn't know. Or she starts thinking she's greater than him. Like, there's a breakdown. And that's what happens with us. So that's our breakdown to God. God's not so great. Yeah, look at all the technology around us. We're scientists. We have science. We're going to Mars. We're going to Venus. We're going here. We're going to Jupiter. We don't really realize. What difference does it make? It's a little blot in the ocean. The ocean of space is massive. It's massive. The solar system is tiny. It's one star out of trillions and trillions of stars. Where does it get you? Okay, so I'll go to the next star. It's four light years away. Okay, big deal. You have two stars now. Now what? You have trillions of stars. Our science is puny. The person goes to Shemayim, they'll realize. It's like little kids playing with Lego. Right? Oh, yeah, playing with Lego. So we have to realize where we are in relationship to our Creator. It's hard to understand. It's very hard to even comprehend. Where are we in relation to Creator? We're like nothings. The miracle is He cares about us. That's the miracle. The miracle is Hashem cares about us even though we are negligible. And that's what the Gemara says. The Gemara says we are dust, right? On the other hand, our soul is nechsav from kisei kavod. It's from such a high place. So the body, you're right, the body is negligible. But the soul is very high. But the society today is the opposite. The body becomes very important. You see the Olympics. So the guy can run fast. So he's like a gold medal. He's the fastest guy in the world. Now where does that get the person? He's the fastest guy in the world. Is that really something which should be worshipped and say, wow, this guy's amazing? Or something, you know, he's tall, he has long legs, and he has a lot of Hashem created him with a strength. Okay, worked out, he practiced and this and that, so, you know. It's amazing. If you look at the values people put on actors, on sportsmen, are these really values that were really important values that make society better? They entertain, but they don't really make society better. Whereas the doctors, getting worse and worse. It's getting worse and worse. The nurses, it's getting better a little bit. I don't know. Teachers, forget it. Well, then that's where the values are. Who's raising the next generation? So our value system is corrupted. Why? Because we don't know who our Creator is. We don't really appreciate who's the Creator. Who's the boss? There's a beautiful book, All for the Boss. You realize who the boss is. And that's what we have to do when we say, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam, the King of the World. We have no concept what that means. Today you go and see a king, the king has no power at all. You know, it's a mitzvah to see a king. The Quran says you should try your best to see a king. Even a non-Jewish king. Why? Because then you'll realize, slowly, if you see a king, you'll see the honor due to God, the King of Kings. We have no concept. We go and pray to God. We have no concept. We're standing before God. Who is God? I mean, I've never seen a king in real life. Now, who am I going to compare the God to? You know? And it's impossible to compare it because Hashem is way, way... It's very hard to imagine. It's very hard to imagine. So that's why it's such a high level. How can a person, a body, human being, even think about the great Creator? On the other side, how can a body rebel against this great king? How can the body rebel? And that's why it's so hard to get to. Because a person needs to think. A person needs to hitbonen. Hitbonenut. There's hitbonenut, which is meditation in private. And there's hitbonenut, which is thinking. A person can think all the time. A person is going to think about the lowliness of man. Now this is amazing because these are our greats. Our greats. What does Avraham Avinu say? Anochi afar va'efer. I am dust and ashes. What does Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron say? V'anachnu ma? What are we? We're not even dust and ashes. What does David HaMelech say? Ani tolad velo ish. I'm a woman, not a man. These are our greats. On the other side, you have people who say, I'm the greatest. But they don't realize who's the real greatest. So Hashem gives them a reminder and says, you're great, let's see. Teach you a lesson. So all this is, we have to acquire it through searching and through learning. And that is the second part of fear. right? To get this kind of acquired the fear of Hashem himself. And this is the praiseworthy fear of, he says, Hasidei Olam, of the pious people of the generation. And that's what Moshe Rabbeinu says, Li'ra'at Hashem ha'nichbad v'hanura hazeh, to fear God, this great, awesome, honorable God. Hashem Elokecha, God your God. And that is what Yirat HaRavot is. Fear of Hashem himself. No, that's the highest level. How do you get there? I got to know who Hashem is. I got to know where I am in relation to Hashem. It's hard to think about it. And we have to constantly remind ourselves all the time. Who am I and who is God? Who am I and who is God? Who am I as God? I don't know who God is. I know who I am. So a person's going to say, I'm God. If God created the world and I'm just this little thing going around here, I know who I am in terms of God. So now we come to the third level, which is Yirat HaChet, fear of the sin itself. And he says this is not its own branch. This is a branch of fear of God. It's not its own little title. What is fear of sin? That a person should always worry about their deeds. Maybe it's not totally pure. Maybe the deed itself is not totally pure. How do we do the deeds? Number one is don't worry about it. The first thing to do is just do the deed. Don't keep worrying about it. It's a deed I did. Should I do it? Should I not do it? Do it! Mitzvah, it's a mitzvah. After you did it, try and reach a higher level. Next time you do it, make it purer and purer and purer to get to the highest level. But the main thing is, do it. B'toch she'lo lishma, balishma. Even though a person does things with the wrong motives, B'toch she'lo lishma, balishma. Doing things with the wrong motives will lead a person to do things with the right motives. He talks about three converts, Hillel and Shammai, remember? The first guy comes to Shammai and he says, I want to be the high priest. He says, why? I saw the high priest dressed up. I like his garment so much. I want to become Jewish to become the high priest. Shammai says, out of here. So he came to Hillel. He says, Hillel, I want to be the high priest. Okay, no problem. Just start learning. So he starts learning. Until he finds out that even King David cannot become the high priest. But if King David cannot become a high priest, and he's a Jew, and he's a king, how much more so I cannot become the high priest? I said, okay, I accept that. I like Judaism now. So it's amazing how, mitoshe lo lishma, balishma. That's the key. The key is just do it. Person says, you know what? I don't know if I'm learning Torah for the right reasons. Learn Torah! Person, I don't know if I'm keeping Shabbat for the right reasons. I come to shul, had a guy, young guy. He came to me, he says, Rabbi, he says, I'm coming to shul because I would like the Kiddush. Should I not come? You gotta come anyway. Just come for the wrong reasons. The main thing is to come, but slow, you gotta realize that's a lower level. You gotta realize there's a higher level, that's all. You have to grow. So the first step is Lodishma. That's the Rambam says in education. First, you have to motivate the child using all the Lodishmas. Give them candies, give them cookies, and there's no candies. Give them nuts and all kinds of nice things to eat. But eventually, the bribe gets bigger and bigger. That's the problem. Until eventually they get to the point where they understand why they're doing it. Now I understand why it's so important. Because I've done it. One professor came to Rabbi, it's a true story in Israel. He says, Rabbi, it's Diana Bromsky. The professor came to Diana Bromsky. And he says, tell me why tefillin is important. Diana Bromsky says, wear it for 30 days and come back and I'll tell you. He never came back. After a few months, he meets some person. He says, tell me. He says, I'm waiting for you. You didn't come back. He says, after I wore it for 30 days, I understood what it's for. I saw the difference in my own thought processes. I saw the difference in the holiness in my life. I don't need to know. And that's what the Gemara says, exactly. Just start the process. David HaMelech says, Tamu uruki dov Hashem. Taste and see how tasty Hashem is. Let's see how good it is. First taste. You know, many people won't even taste. It's like you get a new dish on your plate, right? I never had that dish before. I want to feel comfortable with things I already know. Some people don't feel comfortable trying new things. I like to try it and test it. This is not tried, not tested. Why are you wasting my time with this thing? I don't know what it's like. It looks strange, smells strange. Why would I test it? But slowly a person gets to appreciate it. slowly, slowly. That's Tamur Kitov Hashem. Person never tried Shabbat. He thinks it's a big bore. I'm locked up in the house. I can't go out. I can't do anything. Can't buy this. Can't buy that. What are you going to do? It's boring. Whole day is boring. But a person tries it and says, hey, this is strange. The whole family sitting around the table. Never had that before. It's strange. Or I have time with no TV and no radio and I can think a little bit. It's amazing. So it's very important. So that, he says, is the third level. Third level is Yirat HaChet, which is doing things with the right motives, not to try and cleanse everything. And this comes through only through awe. Because the whole purpose of both these things is not to go against the will of God. So Yirat HaChet is this. Yirat HaOnesh. I don't want to do this because I may get punished. That's the lowest level. That's available to everyone. But I'm not going to do this because I don't hurt God's feelings. I honor God. I honor God's glory. I can't do this against God. I can't go against God. This is very hard. That's the highest level. So it's like that's exactly what Yosef HaTzadik, right? What does he say? What does Yosef HaTzadik say? How can I do this to my master? I am the boss of all his house. How can I do this to my master? So you can say he's talking about his physical master. But we have to appreciate the same thing. Hashem gave us control of our lives. How can I do this to my master? That's what we have to say. How can I do this to my master? How can I do this to my creator? How can I do this to my parent? If I can't do this to my physical parent, that's why Kibud Abayim is so important. If we can honor our physical parents, we can honor Hashem. If we can't honor our physical parents, how can you honor Hashem? If I can hurt my father or I can hurt my mother, how can I not hurt God? Oh, very easy. Next step. If I can't hurt my father, I can't hurt my mother, I can't hurt their feelings. How can I hurt their feelings? They brought me into this world. They looked after me for so long. They gave me everything they had. But it's very hard to think about that constantly. That's the point. That's what we're talking about. Think about it constantly. That's Yirat HaRomut. And that brings a person not to do anything against that person, against God. I don't hurt it. I don't hurt God. Can't hurt God. Don't hurt God's feelings. God has no feelings. But he's my creator. I can't do it to my creator. That's important. And it's every second of the day. That's so hard. It's so hard to get to that point. It's so hard to get to that point. And especially when people get into bad habits. And that's the hardest thing. If you do get into a bad habit, okay, test me. No problem. I did it once. No problem. But if I get into a bad habit, to change that habit takes so much effort. Some people say the Vilna Gaon said it. It's easier to learn the whole of Shas for them than change one trait. And for me, it's not easy to learn the whole of Shas, and it's definitely not easy to change one trait. How does a person change their traits? So the Rambam says, do something three times. That becomes a new minhag. Don't get angry three times. Stay calm three times. But it's easier said than done. It's very, very hard to change a trait. And some traits are there, and you enjoy it. You can't help it. It's so delightful and so tasty and so pleasurable. Luckily, it's the lower level of sin. It's not the highest level of sin. But if you know who your creator is and you still do it, oh boy, that's worse. It's very hard. So a person says, you know, I know there's a God. I know God is watching me now. I can't help it. So, okay, the Yetzirah. Everyone has a Yetzirah. The person says, I know God is watching me now, and I don't care. Oh, you don't care. That's Pesha. That's Pesha. That was Yeravam ben Nevat. That was Jeroboam, the son of Nevat, who was the first king of the 10 tribes, who made the Jews worship idolatry. So hard, so hard. But it's so good to know you're right at the top of the ladder. If you're getting to that stage, you know you're on the highest level. This, you're like the mountain climber, which is on the top, nearly on top of the summit of the Mount Everest. You're nearly there if you get to that level. And that's what it says. Now we come to the pasuk which we talked about, which is in the Gemara and Gittin about the destruction of the temple. Ashrei Adam Fachet Tamid. A person should always be scared. A Pirshu Chazal, and the rabbis explained the Gemara and Brachot Dav Samach. Ahub the very Torah Ketiv. That's talking about even when you're learning Torah. Even when a person is busy learning Torah, should be careful. Maybe there's something he's doing wrong. Maybe there's something he can do better. See, even when a person is learning Torah, a person should be scared of Hashem. Should be scared of doing something wrong. And so maybe there's pride, you know. One of the worst things is pride. Vaser ha-satan b'lfanenu me'achareinu. Remove the Satan, we say in our evening prayers. Remove the Satan from in front of us and the Satan from behind us. Okay, Satan in front of us is very simple. I want to do something good. It won't let me do something good. Just remove it. What's the Satan behind me? So you can explain in different ways. But one of the ways you can explain it is after you do the deed, you feel so good. I must be great. I did such a big mitzvah. I must be better than anyone else. Satan is telling you, good man, you're so good, proud, you must be proud of yourself. Uh-oh, I'm proud of myself. It's very dangerous, it's very, very dangerous. It's important not to boast, it's very, very hard not to boast. It's so hard not to boast. What does the Mishnah say in Pirkei Avot? Im lamata Torah arbe? Yeah, if you learnt a lot of Torah, he says, Lekach notzarta. That's why you were created. You're doing your mission, that's all. Because you're such a great person. You're doing your mission. Or does he say, you know what, I'm trying my best to do my mission, that's it. My mission is to do as much good as possible. So it's very important to be always scared. What's scared of what? Scared of what? Scared of doing the wrong thing. Scared of hurting, you know. There's someone who comes to me all the time. Always there's something not quite right. Always tells me situations in human beings, and I'm scared I hurt those person's feelings. Always, she was always scared to hear the other person. Yeah, it's very good, right? That's what we're talking about. Always scared not to do anything bad. On the other hand, if it goes crazy, she'll go crazy. That's the trouble. That's the other line. So the person's got to try and stay normal within the balance. I don't know what normal is today. It's changing all the time. Within the balance of normal, plus try and be take into account. I'm worried about the effects of my deeds. I'm worried about how I talk to that person. Maybe they'll get offended. Maybe they were offended. I don't know. So it's a very important point to be always scared. If the Jews were always scared at the time of the temple, the destruction, it said nothing would have happened. If they were scared of all the outcome of their deeds, Kamsa and Bar Kamsa. You know, the strangest story in one of the strangest stories in Talmud is the story of Kamsa and Bar Kamsa. Why? Because we don't even know who the person was who had this friend called Kamsa and who had the enemy called Bar Kamsa. It doesn't say his name. Don't know who it was. We don't know who the rabbis were at the feast. It doesn't say any names. It's very strange. It's like an anonymous story. Don't know what's going on. But if they were scared of hurting people's feelings, if they're scared of ruining God's temple, that Sanhedrin also would have done things differently. They weren't scared of outcome. They weren't scared of consequences. That's what we're talking about. They weren't scared of hurting God's feelings. And that's what Moshe Rabbeinu says. This fear should be on your faces so you'll never sin. What fear? The fear of hurting God. The fear of hurting God's feelings. The fear of hurting your Creator. The fear of, you know, a person to think of all the debts they owe God. A person should try their best, this fear will never leave them. And if it does leave, it's like an accident. Okay. If you know the angels, the high angels are always fearful of God. Right? Hashem malach giut labesh. Hashem wears this, I can't even understand what it's like. It says, the higher the angels are, the seraphim, they're always fluttering out of fear. The angels are fluttering out of fear. And there's a river that comes down, the Gwanaset Hagiga, the Nahar Dinor, comes from the sweat of the angels. I mean, obviously you can't take this literally. It means the angels, what are they sweating for? Because they're the highest angels. They're closer to the, whatever that means, they're closer to Hashem than anything else in the... You're in God's glory. Maybe they're not praising God enough. We have no concept what we're up to. How much more so human beings? We should be more fearful. Why? Because we have the intellect that they don't have. We have an intellect. And we could do something to honor our God. And that's really, that's amazing. This is an amazing concept. Every time a person does a mitzvah, at the back of our heads we should think, we're doing it to honor Hashem. That's what Kiddush Hashem is. Kiddush Hashem is a person is sanctified in the eyes of other people because he's doing God's will. Wow, this guy's doing God's will. Imagine. See someone doing God's will. I was at a wedding, and I'm going to finish on this. I was at a wedding. The next to me was Rav Feldman. Rav Feldman is the Rosh Yeshiva of Neir Yisrael, of Aaron Feldman. And we were discussing, why do people stand up at the wedding? So he says, it's a Mishnah in Bikurim. We're going to come to it. We're doing the mornings. That when people come with their first fruits to the temple, and they're walking all the way to the temple, when you see them, you have to stand up. When a person is doing a mitzvah, you have to give them honor, because they're honoring God. If they're honoring God, you have to give them honor for honoring God. Amazing. So when the bride and groom are walking in, you have to stand up. Why? They're engaging in a big mitzvah. A pruvu. Part of that. That's what it's leading to. And therefore, you have to stand up and show them honor. It's a beautiful idea. So those who honor God will be shown honor. Those who don't honor God will be shown honor. So we have to try our best in our lives to always show honor to God. We get to this level of Yirat HaRamut. Okay, we'll stop here.